Welcome to Coffee Recovery and Theology. This is a weekly podcast where we will discuss not only the world of recovery, but also how our recovery fits in with teachings in the Bible. Yet we don't want to limit recovery to addiction. There are plenty of hurts and hang-ups to go around. In each episode, we will sit down with a guest over a cup of our favorite coffee and discuss how we grow and recover from what life has thrown at us. Our host is Jesse Mills, who has over 3 years of sobriety and is growing in his own recovery ministry. So, grab your favorite cup of coffee and join us as we discuss lessons out of the Bible and our day-to-day struggles of staying on the right track with Christ. All right, welcome to Coffee Recovery and Theology. This is Jesse Mills. On today's episode, our guest is Kelly Valatagara, and he's here to give his testimony. Before we get into Kelly's testimony, I like to highlight local recovery groups in the area. And this week I'm highlighting Misfits for Recovery. It's in Mountain Grove at 6 p.m. and food is served during that program. I know Kelly through our local program called Mountain Moving Ministry. That's where he completed the 12-month program here in Hartville. And then eventually God led him to help with the men's house here in Hartville. Kelly and I both, we mentor guys in the Mountain Moving Ministry House, and we do what we can to make a difference in recovery ministries, not only just in the Mountain Moving Ministry House, in CR and other ministries in the local area that specifically the Mountain Moving Ministry House attends on a weekly basis. And also we are continuing to grow in our walk in Christ. With that, Kelly, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
I've asked you here to give your testimony, and I'm just now hearing your testimony for the first time. I was having finals when you gave your testimony first time here at CR, which I was sad I had to miss it, but I had a final. So anyways, and something I like to take a note from when you first came in the program and sitting in there mentoring you guys weekly, definitely seen a major change in your life. And personally, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm honored to call you a friend. But enough of my rambling. Before we get to your story, I have a couple of questions. Part of our title of the program is Coffee Recovery and Theology. So starting with coffee, what do you drink? And how has it been part of your recovery, if it's been part of your recovery?
I like Folgers. I like it hot as I can handle it. Cream sugar. And there's first part of the morning for me, I get up in the morning, drink coffee, and read the Bible. It goes good together.
Rock on. That sounds awesome, dude. Now let's get into who Kelly is. How did you get here? Where did you start from? Tell us briefly about your early years. And please, don't be afraid to use scripture that's helped you along your journey.
All right. Well, my name's Kelly Darren Valatagara, and I was born in 1974 in West Plains, Missouri. I grew up in and out of church and always believed in God, but I just didn't take it to heart. But I wasn't following in his footsteps. When I hit, I don't know, high school, I played football all the way up until freshman year. Once I got in school, I got introduced to drugs and alcohol, which eventually led up to using the needle, shooting methamphetamines. That lasted all the way from my teenage to most of my adult life. I'm 48 now. I was always fighting, partying, in and out of jail, constantly. I always believed in God, but I never knew how to follow Christ. I was angry and lost and confused, felt like I had no purpose. In 1994, my best friend killed himself on my couch one day, and it really messed me up. And I just got deeper and deeper into drugs and just trying to drown it out, and kept losing job after job after job. But that's all the way up till high school.
So you lost a friend. That's going to be tough. I know here a couple of years ago, I lost my brother to an OD to cocaine. He died with a needle in his arm. That's got to hurt. And I'm still dealing with that today. I'm sure you're still dealing with that today with your own situation. You brought us up to high school. Tell us more about from about high school until you decided to get sober. Tell us kind of what that was.
After high school, which I didn't graduate high school, I moved out, got my own place, stayed in jobs I wasn't happy with. I just wasn't a happy person. Just had wasn't driven, no purpose. Got into selling drugs, dealing drugs, wouldn't go to work. Always had my own place, always had a ride to drive, but I never had a license. I just kept getting ticket after ticket, after ticket. Then one night about 12 years ago, I got in a fight with somebody that I grew up with that I would bow down to and respected. He was my older. Then a couple days later, he came back, smiled, shook my hand, shot me in the face. And smiled, shook my hand, and shot me with Snub Nose 38. It knocked me down, and I laid there about to drown in my own blood. As I watched him drive away, when he got out of sight, I yelled for my mom, which was next to inside her house. Her and my sister came to my aid. I couldn't move. My sister helped me to my knees. I was bleeding out. My heart was going 100 miles an hour, and I was about to bleed out, drowning in a pool of blood. I felt my life slowly fade away. I told my family I was going to die. I told them I loved them and said goodbye. And I just feel myself dying. And then my mind drifted back to this church sermon I was at when I was in my addiction. It was, the old man was preaching on, and if you have faith in the Lord, accept death and receive everlasting life, you know. And in my dying minutes, that's what my mind drifted to. It was an old church sermon that I listened to that really touched my heart and moved me. Although I was in my addiction, but it still touched me and moved me. And then, next thing you know, I'm on my feet. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I was on my feet. Felt life coming back to me. And my mom was on the phone with 911 and turns around and sees me smoking a cigarette. Tells me to put that thing out. I thought if I was going to die, I was going to smoke my last cigarette. But even my dying days, my mom was looking out for me. By the time the ambulance got there, I was pacing back and forth, thinking I might make it. Actually, I looked at my sister and said, I think I might make it. You know what I mean? They put me in and asked me to lay down. And I told the ambulance guy, I told him, no, I ain't going to lay down because I felt like if I did, I was going to die. So they put me to sleep. And when I woke up, boy, was I messed up. I couldn't walk, talk, speak. The bullet hit my number one vertebrae and broke it and stopped a millimeter from my spinal cord and my carotid artery. But God. It took a long time, a very long time to recover. God gave me mercy and showed me grace that day because I was at my rock bottom. I came home, seemed to be hooked on pain pills. I held a grudge for a long time against the guy that shot me. I was overtook by depression, paranoia, PTSD, and the obsession for self-defense. I self-trained with weapons and hand-to-hand combat. But when it came time to get even with the old boy that shot me, by the time he got out of jail, I was waiting for him. I wound up in jail on a drug charge and was there for 4 months, and then I learned about the Mountain Moving Ministry. I talked to Jonathan McClure. I accepted God's got me where he wants me to be. Jonathan prayed, and I gave it all to God that night in that jail cell.
Amen.
Said I was done with it all. And
amen.
Just tired of it, man. I felt like I was going to die or have to go to prison for the rest of my life. So I had to die, I died to myself.
Right.
The Mount Moving Ministry showed me, through God, he took away all my problems. I now live with the most amazing group of men. I have the most amazing support group, the greatest spiritual leaders. And I am no longer the junkie of my family. God has restored all my relationships with my whole family. I got the chance to make my mom proud of me before she dies. and she no longer has to worry about me.
That's, wow, that's a pretty interesting journey, and wow, you've a lot to deal with. So now that you've got in mountain moving ministry, you graduated and you were asked to be a leader in the house. And besides being a leader in the house, what else are you doing? Are you working? Or
I work what I can today. I mean, I work what I can when I can, but I'm usually serving the people in the house, taking them to job interviews, courts. Like, I worked all day today for free just so the other guys could work and make money. And
yep.
But I just do whatever's called for in the house and the community. And
yeah, something that I like, and I think you brought it up, and I think it's very important in sobriety and in my own journey of sobriety, and part of the reason why I'm doing this podcast for Coffee Recovery and Theology is that service work is so important in the recovery work, or in recovery period, just because to me, Jesus was the humble servant. He came to us taking the form of man, and he was still fully God, but he just was a servant, came to be a servant for us and be a servant to the cross, to be crucified on the cross for us. And for me and my sobriety, I've got to turn around and I've got to serve my brothers and sisters. And then I'm doing this to reach out to people that haven't been reached yet. And I think doing service work is so important. And I commend you for that, because there's a lot of these guys that I've seen, even my brother who OD'd, my parents had to drag him to court dates, lawyers, probation officers, many times through his life. And that's just the servant's heart. And it's so humbling, but helping these guys through these steps, it's also helping them, you're showing them the light of Christ.
And I'm going home tomorrow to visit my bedridden mom. I'm going to wash your feet and pray over, and I'm going to baptize her.
Right on. That's really awesome.
And I'd like to thank this community for accepting me, welcoming me, and treating me like family, even though they didn't know me. My name's Achille, and I'm a warrior for Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Kelly, thank you very much for sitting down, sharing your testimony. I know when I shared my testimony, I was very vulnerable, but it's that vulnerability, as Paul says it in Corinthians, that Jesus is our strength and our weakness, and my addiction was my weakness, and I can share my weakness with others, and hopefully that'll help be an influence and an impact to pull them out of whatever they're dealing with. Whatever my experience is, this is just awesome. And thank you again for coming on today. And
thank you for having me.
Next time, or our next testimony, I'm going to try to have Lance on here for his testimony. Hey, would you like to pray us out?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to give your testimony of what you've done in my life, Lord. And God, I just thank you for the city of Hartville, in the community, Lord, for just open us all with open arms and giving us love, Lord. And thank you for my leaders, Lord. Thank you for the churches, God. God, just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do in our lives. And most of all, thank you for my sobriety. In your name I pray. Amen.
Awesome. This has been another episode of Recovery Coffee and Theology with Jesse Mills. I look forward to talking to you again next week. You can contact us at coffee.recovery.theology@outlook.com. Again, that's coffee.recovery.theology@outlook.com. Come back and join us next week for Coffee, Recovery, and Theology with Jesse Mills. Thank you and have a blessed week.